Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. Remember, you can call us on 434-1790. You can also reach us 266-IVOB, that's the chat, or you can email me directly at peter.w.wickham.com. I was sniggering a little bit while we were off here because I was reading an article where Reverend Atherley is concerned that the Treasury building might be used for the construction of same-sex pads. And he is diametrically opposed to the use of the Treasury building for these same-sex pads. And I think that when one reads that type of thing, one can only chuckle about the fact that the leader of the opposition, who is paid a considerable amount of money from the National Treasury to look out for the interests of you and me, is engaging in a conversation about this mythical concept known as a same-sex pad. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wickham.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yeah, I would like to say thank you to Ms. Kim Allen of Rosedale Dental Clinic. I was there recently to have some dental work done. She was extremely polite and the service was good. Thank you, Ms. Allen. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling, ma'am. We don't normally encourage people to be using this facility to advertise for professional services. So I certainly would encourage that when you feel that way again, you know, you can send a note to your favorite dentist and respond to them in that way. Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. Okay. I think we lost that caller. We say 434-1790, peter.w.wickham@gmail.com. Do we have another call, Dennis? Okay. So I can go to the WhatsApp and read quite a few of these WhatsApp messages that have come in. And unfortunately, I haven't really been able to. Right. Professor Beckles is always willing or always in the news speaking about many things. I find it quite interesting that Professor Beckles has been particularly silent in relation to this issue. The caller really explained the CX issue well. Well, I found it easy to follow in her exposition. And I have to admit that I certainly agree with that entirely. I found her reflection of the issues easy to understand. Peter, there's more to it than the elderly going to the post office. It's a mindset that needs to be changed. Both avenues of receiving money has its threats also to the elderly being victims of crime, as many of them are vulnerable and are preyed upon by a select few in society, which must be addressed first and foremost. I dare state that these anomalies are also responsible for the increased failure rate by nursing students since the CXC took over those exams. She speaks to a curve, not a criterion reference. What she says sounds logical to me, but it's not the situation about which people who understand need to speak about the matter that everyone is so entrenched that perhaps no one knows what to do. Caribbean teachers moderate for CXC using their standards, not the registrar of the CXC, which is an interesting point. The idea of marking on a curve, this is what we used to call it when I was a lecturer at the university, where either you deliberately or you instinctively assess all of your students and you essentially determine that the ones who have done best get the top marks and the one who have done worse fail. In my instance, we normally noted that you have an objective standard, but almost instinctively as a person who assesses students' performance, especially in an area like politics, where it's very qualitative, invariably you move towards a position where you treat all of your students as reflection of that year's performance, and invariably the best students will get A's and the others will, you know, fall into line accordingly. So I don't know whether this is CXC's initiative, but generally speaking, it is not unusual in examination circles to do this kind of a bell curve approach where you try to ensure that the majority of students will do what one can consider average. And then, yes, the best and the worst are failures and A's. So it happens. Whether it is consistent with what or who is responsible for what is going on in this instance, that's a different matter altogether. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you doing?
We haven't chat for a long time, Mr. Wickham. I know you may not recognize your voice, but this guy is normally telling you about the Bible. Maybe something. Yeah, but we had a chat because you went away. And, you know, so I just decided to call you this morning. Sorry, this afternoon, because this time, what I want to talk to you about really is this, using the term discrimination against people of the same sex. And the news that and to say the legalize it. I just want to say this to you. I was in England, right? And I put my hand to stop a taxi. And the taxi man did not stop. So I was told he did not stop for me because I was black. But I know that's not the law in England because I had a taxi driver stop who was white. Now I said to the state, I saw in the paper one time in America, two people of the same sex wanted to have a cake bake. And the person...
Wanted a what?
Two persons of the same sex union. They wanted to get married. Right? They wanted to get married. So they went to get a cake bake. And the person refused to bake it on the grounds of their Christian faith. And they end up in court. Right, end up in court. But I can't remember how it turned out. What I'm saying is...
No, they won a lot of money.
Pardon me?
The person who sued won a considerable amount of money.
Right, yes, I read it. What I'm saying is, I believe that if a person do not want to, they should be free to do that. I just say that if you go to somebody who's going to bake the cake for you. So that's how you agree with me?
Okay, I think you would be surprised to hear that I do agree with you. I think that's my simple answer, that I do agree with you, right? But look, sir, what I think we need to understand in all of this is that there's a difference between two things. There's a bookshop associated with the church that I previously attended that sells religious paraphernalia. The persons who work there are part of that religious group, okay? If that bookshop says, I am not employing Peter Wickham because he is an avowed atheist, that person is entitled to do so. And sir, I would tell you now, here and now, that I would fight for the right of any religious institution to discriminate against a person on the basis of their religion. That's their right. So if, for example, a law were passed in Barbados that says a church has to marry same-sex couples, I would oppose it. Because that, to me, is unreasonable, it's unfair, and it's inconsistent with the rights and privileges that have to be associated with persons of a religious order. At the same time, however, if you are running a public service vehicle, right? And I told this story on the radio already about a young man that I knew who was gay, a bit flamboyant, but he was gay. And he indicated that he would have several situations where public service vehicles would pass him and they say, you are not getting in here, because we don't want people like you on this bus, right? No, sir, that is wrong. That is the difference between acceptable discrimination where a church can say we are not marrying two men,
right,
and unacceptable discrimination where an institution that is set up to provide a public service cannot discriminate in relation to offering that public service. And sir, this is the genesis of your problem, or the problem with the cake. If the persons who were baking the cake were a church, they can decide who they want to bake for. But once you are providing a service to the public, then you are not in a position to say, I will not provide it to you because you're of that order. So let's bring it down the line now in relation to marriage, okay? I was married in France. I was married in France you can't get married in a church anyhow because it's impossible. So church, mosque, temple, you can't get married in a place like that. Everyone gets married the same place. The person who was performing the marriage is a deputy mayor. She does not have the right of what they call conscientious objection. She does not have the right to not marry Muslims, to not marry Hindus, to not marry gays, to not marry lesbians. She does not have that right because it is a state function and the state says two people have the right to marry. You cannot say no. If you decide, however, to leave there and go across and say, I want a blessing in a Hindu temple, but I'm Christian, that Hindu temple can tell you no, and they have the right to do so. So I don't know if you understand the point that I am making. I do not think that Christians in Barbados need to fear the kind of incursion that they are concerned about, because in the final analysis, the church will always have the right to discriminate, as they do now, regarding who comes in, who goes out, who they bury, who they marry, who they bless, etc. Personally, I would like to think that they should not want to, but they have that right. Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
That's the point I'm making. Because if I'm going to come out to preach, right, and they come to your home, and I knock on the door, and you came to the door, and they say, good morning, sir. You know, my name is XYZ, and this morning I am a wrong restaurant or whatever. But I tell them, hold on. Mm-hmm. I go in and get my partner, come back, and you come back with a man, I still go to preach to you. But I cannot say, no, man, I preach to you. No, I have to. You get the point? I have to do it. I am telling you that now. And I am not going to turn. And if I belong to any religious organization and tell me that I don't do that, I won't be a part of that neither.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? If you tell me, listen, don't preach to you. No, let me tell you, but you stop there. That's what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Wait, so I understand what you're saying.
Very clear. So this discrimination against gays, I don't agree with that. But I still feel that if you are gay, and somebody told me that I'm serving you, because you get mad at some person, somebody will want money, man, and don't pay that body, no money, man. But I just say, if the law knows, if the breaking the law, that is something completely different.
But, you know, sir, the key thing in this, and I appreciate your call and for the opportunity to engage you on this issue. I think the key thing in this is financial power, right? And I'm prepared to admit to you that I have not really had issues or discrimination issues in relation to Barbados. I have not had these problems. One of the reasons I have not had these problems is that I tend to have a little bit more economic power than the average person. So an issue like rental, for example, I rented once, but I have not had longstanding issues in terms of finding a place to rent, largely because I own a house. Now, my challenge is that there may very well be gay boys and girls out there who may want to find a place to rent. And I have spoken to people who have told me that they attempted to rent a place and they were told by their landlord, sorry, we are not renting to persons that look like you, because that is their problem. And that's wrong. So to me, When we have this conversation in Barbados, it cannot be about my personal experience as Peter Wickham, because I do not have a lot of those challenges. What I do worry about is a lot of the gay boys and girls who have not had the same benefits or experiences as I have, that are treated badly in the system in some instances. And it's like the conversation I was having with the lady just now regarding the CXE exams. The wealthy students who would have done well have the benefit of having people to lobby for them. But what about all the others? You know, and I am making the point that a big part of my thing with the 11 plus exam has not been the fact that I personally had issues, because I already had those problems. Even though I'm dyslexic, I have not had a lot of those problems. The issue, however, is that there are a lot of boys and girls out there who suffer as a result of that exam and have nobody to speak on their behalf. So when I bring these conversations about discrimination to the fore, I think it's important for us to understand that it's not like you're trying to paddle your own canoe. And there are real problems out there. And as I said, sir, I appreciate very much the fact that you called and you put this on the table squarely, because while you may say, yeah, well, if you don't want to buy from me, go and buy somebody else. I had to go and buy a wedding cake myself, right? And the first person I went was happy to do it, because the final analysis, people want money, right? I suspect that if Barbados started marrying same-sex couples, there would still be competition within that wedding market for people, because they would want to essentially get some of the money that's associated with weddings, because weddings are a big business. And I'm saying a cook for your wedding because I'm uncomfortable with it, kind of want to make some money. But at the same time, the issue is really not going to be, unfortunately, that. The issue is going to be discrimination that takes place at a much lower level in relation to housing, transportation, employment, and those kinds of things. You gone, sir? Okay, I'm sorry.
This experience I had, you know, I used to paint, you know, and one of the guys tell me, man, I will let you to paint my house, you know, but I don't see you gonna paint my house because he ready to get my money. And I really never thought about it, though, you know, because he tells me, he's getting money, you know, in a way that I don't agree with. And he told me that I don't think you're gonna want to paint my house, you know, because he never went to me. And I never really
tell him,
yeah, I can do it for you. I just let
that
down there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Good talking to you, man.
Okay, sir, good chatting. Don't brass tacks, 4341790. You can also WhatsApp me on 266-IVOB. Just let me read something very quickly for you. Firstly, the situation at the University of the West Indies, to add to what Dr. Hines had said, UWI also has a quality assurance process that reviews discipline programs, courses, etc., comprising internal and external parties. There's a set review cycle for coursework, also allows exams and scripts to be reviewed. Plus, there is an internal first, second examiner, distinct to remarkers and university examiners for each course. There's also an accreditation process to which they have to submit. They do not operate on a curve. Each lecturer is expected to prepare rubrics, and these are submitted along with exam papers onto the exam section to ensure a level of transparency. If 10 people get an A or no one gets an A, it sets the rubric standard. Further, there are instances where 25% of a class fails or obtains an A, then a report has to be prepared to explain the circumstances. So that's a bit more clarification on the level of internal control at the University of West Indies. And of course, we would want to think that the Caribbean Examination Council could probably have something which comes close, if not proximate, to that level of internal review. Of course, you can't use students in the same way, but at the same time, you can have a system that is fair. I want to take the opportunity also to give a shout out to my friend Mohammed. I didn't realize that I had a friend at the Barbados Turf Club. Mohammed, it's good to know that I now do have a friend at the Barbados Turf Club, and I want to say good afternoon to you, sir, and to all the best. Best of luck with your new initiative at this Turf Club regarding night racing. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon.
Yes, you're on the air. Hello, go right
this
ahead.
Is this the Father Armstrong calling from New York City?
Go right ahead, sir. I can hear you.
Are you with me?
I am listening. Yes, please. It is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we have something in common, both Foundation Boys. Mm. Now, I'm going to begin by saying what Elizabeth Taylor is alleged to have said to her husband. I'm not going to keep you long. Now, I want to make a correction or an explanation about my call yesterday and the information that I gave about a program that we have, my church here to help. A very close relative of mine pointed out to me that I have to be very careful about mentioning my church's name and so on and so forth, because it might be seen as an advertisement. And I want you to know that that's not my intention. My intention is not to advertise, but just to give information about how we can help. You know, there are so many people who can tell you what has gone wrong. There are fewer who tell you how to find a solution. And if at any time, and given the information, I have crossed the line, please let me know by sending me the bill for advertisements, and I'm serious about that. And because I don't know everything, and I'm reminded of that saying of the ancient fathers: he who knows and knows that he knows is wise, follow him. He who knows and knows not that he knows is asleep, wake him. He who knows not and knows that he knows not is a child, teach him. He who knows not and knows not that he knows not is a fool, shun him. I think I fall in that last category. I did not know, and I did not know that I did not know. So please pardon me.
We're gonna have to move fairly briskly down the issue though, because it's only 15 minutes remaining on the program, and there's still quite a few people who want to get in. So just tell me quickly. Hello. All right. Go right ahead, sir.
Hi.
Okay.
Hi,
all right. Peter. We lost that call. I'm sorry. We lost that call, and hopefully he can call again and chat with me another time. Go right ahead. You're on the air. 434-1790. Good afternoon.
Am I on right now, Peter?
You are. Yes, sir. Go right ahead, please. Okay. You're on.
Sorry, I didn't know that. All right. Since we had a bit of rain the last couple days, I've noticed that I am right now on Highway 6, coming from 6 Roads, right? And there are a bit of holes that have developed. Now, I've noticed a trend, and I wanted to talk about it a little while back. When is that the ministry, whichever ministry it is that repairs the road, they do a really bad job. And I would like to think that a ministry that's organized could just exercise just a little bit. I am not an expert in road repairs, but this is what I've observed. They will come with the tar, they'll throw it, and I literally see people just throwing the tar into the hole and then allow the traffic to drive over it to smooth it out. And that by itself causes problems, because then you now have a bump in the road. And, you know, in quick time, the road would be like how it is on Highway 1, which is now being repaired. Why can't the authorities, who are being paid to do a good job, right? Why they can't just do something as simple as you have a hole, cut it in a rectangle or square, put the filling of tar in, get a roller or some sort of compactor, and bring it level with the existing road as opposed to what is being done right now. Could anyone from the ministry, including the minister, explain why that is so difficult to do?
Well, unfortunately, I can't. I really don't know.
Well, and I guess it's a bit late now, but I would like, even if tomorrow, they could explain this. Because, I mean, is it a lack of equipment? I was told when it was asked, in a different circle, I asked about it. They said that the ministry doesn't have a compactor. Which I find hard to believe. That is necessary for road repair.
All right, sir. Thank you for making that point. And as I said, I hope that people will, the appropriate authorities will be in a position to respond to you. Unfortunately, I cannot, I can't do anything on my own part. Down to Brass Tacks, 4341790. Remember, we go until 2 o'clock. We have probably time for two more calls. So let's see if we can get them in. Good afternoon and welcome.
Peter?
Hey.
My problem now is I'm not going to have enough time to discuss what I want to discuss with you, but I'm going to have to leave off some of it.
You can pray.
One of the things that worries me, Peter, is that people who have been to the university or the universities, and I believe that they should use the English language grammatically always. I want to ask you, who do you call a Christian? I want a definition.
Who do I call who?
A Christian.
Well, you know, a person, I guess a person that believes in God through Jesus Christ.
No, you don't think, Peter. You said just now what people are Christians.
We don't really have enough time to debate it. What do you think? You tell me what you think, and I will respond.
You can't think about that. A Christian is supposed to be a Christ-like person.
Okay, well.
Right. Not okay. Do you accept that?
I don't accept it. When I went to confirmation class, I went to one confirmation class. Huh? And when I went, I was told that a Christian is a person who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
No.
That was the definition I was given.
Peter, you're a man that study English. A belief is a reasonable doubt. It's an opinion. You know, an idea. It's a conception. An opinion is not a fact. So believing that it is and is not, that doesn't make it a fact. Will you agree?
All right. sir, I don't know. I want you to move on to the point, though.
Discuss the things that I want to discuss with you. I don't have that time, but I know you're not going to win. You're not going to win with me, Peter. Another thing I want you to stop saying, and people stop saying, that they go to church. You can't go to church. The church is the body of the believers. You see, what you understand? So you can't go to church. You can go among the church, which should be the people. I know you're educated, maybe mentally, physically, emotionally, but how is spiritually? This is a problem, Peter.
It's a problem for you, not for me.
I know it's for you too. You may not want.
But it's a problem for me.
I know it's a problem, Peter. They got a lot of things that people should accept that don't accept. And eventually, I believe you're going to come around. It's going to take some time.
You and my mother will agree on that, that there's hope for me.
But Peter, when all I
can tell you is that I beg you pray for me so that if I don't come around, I will still get to greet St. Peter face to face.
I don't know. Meeting St. Peter, there's somebody more important than St. Peter. You know, one time the master said to a man, look, follow me, Peter. The man said to Jesus, my father is dead, allow me to go and bury him. I mean, which was reasonable. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead.
Okay. All right. All right, sir. Thanks a lot for calling. And as I said, you keep praying for me, and you never know. It might. You said that prayer solves all problems. Donna Brastax, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. Not bad.
I'm on, right?
You are on air, yes. And we have less than 5 minutes remaining.
Yeah, I know the program coming there. I'll make a brief intervention. You see, for as much as Barbados trying its best with the protocol and thing, I'm going to challenge any of you now to take a walk on Friday night from your station at River Road and walk down there by them kiosks in Fairchild Street and see how many people are up in one interface. No masks, no social distances. So I can't believe that we are serious and that's going on all the time. On weekends it's worse. On weekends it's worse. We can't be all this serious and all that is still going on. The people in charge of COVID should be able to drive through there and check it out.
Mm-hmm. All right, sir. Thanks a lot for calling. And we take a last call. Yeah, we can take the last call. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon.
Hey, it's good afternoon, ma'am. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. I'm okay. I'm calling. It's going to be very quick. They don't have an MRI machine. I'm not surprised they don't have a compactor. We don't have anything at all, it seems, in this place. Thank you. Bye.
We were talking about comparing an MRI machine and a compactor. I thought the compactor is for garbage. But I don't know if Dennis can help me here, but that one lost me completely. Whoa, what a program. Anyhow, I thought that we had as usual, interesting discussion that was aggressive from time to time. I'm sorry that the taxi man and the stats man, the face off, wasn't more audible. Let's see if we can get that going again when I'm next on the air. Hopefully, I'll be back with you in a week or so. I'm not sure. But whenever I am, I look forward to being here. I want to thank you so much for a good program. Also, thanks, Dennis, for his technical support. And I want to say to all of you, shelter from the rain, take care of yourself, and I look forward to being with you in the not-too-distant future. All the best.